And so back to Sweden, where we were last month with Professor Martin Hultman and Paul Poulet at Chalmers University on climate deniers and why some hate protesters. There with Anne Holmes.
The tone of hatred and vitriol seems to be augmenting in media and social media and so forth. Why is this?
This is a pattern that we see historically repeated against women who take leadership within environment and climate issues. So we have the hate speech against Rachel Carson, for example, in the 1960s. And me, myself, have been studying the personal archives of Birgitta Hambraeus and Birgitta Dahl in Sweden in the 1970s and 1980s. And we see there also women trying to change the energy system towards renewables were met by hate speech by what we call industrial breadwinner masculinities. So the hate speech against Greta Thunberg is part of that larger pattern that we are seeing.
Which brings us to solutions. I'd like to discuss your new book, Martin and Paul, called Ecological Masculinities. These are pretty heavy words. Another very interesting one that I heard about was that one tries to create new laws for nature.
Yes, ecocide laws is an idea that in the Rome Statute that underpins the International Court in Hague, there could be a sixth amendment to that, which is end ecocide. And in the similar way as ending genocide, ending ecocide would be a way in which you could, in front of court, bring perpetrators, those who have killed large ecosystems. For example, indigenous peoples of Brazil are trying to put Bolsonaro in front of court because of killing the ecosystem of Amazonas. Mm. Another example in connection to Australia is, of course, the Great Barrier Reef, which is explicitly being killed as one of the, if not the biggest, living system on Earth. So that end ecocide law could be a way in which the perpetrators could be brought in front of law. But rights of nature has become an idea that is now prominent in countries around the world. Ecuador and Bolivia got it in their constitution 10 years ago or so, that ecosystem needs to flourish and be alive and cannot be killed by companies or governments. And there's now also specific ecosystems that has been granted their rights. In New Zealand, for example, the River of Whanganui, which has now two representatives who are talking on the behalf of the river and can then take companies or people or government in front of the court on the behalf of the river.
This is a reality now in these countries.
This is a reality in these countries. And one of the largest lakes in the world, I think the 12th largest lake, Lake Erie in the US, was also granted its own rights to flourish. And this is a response by both indigenous groups in Ecuador and Bolivia and in New Zealand, as well as just ordinary citizens in the city of Toledo, just next by to the Lake Erie. So we have limited the destruction of ecosystems by environmental laws, but this is not enough. So the destruction is continuing. So instead shifting ecosystems into subjects that could actually grant the rights, which is shifting the whole idea of how humans and nature is connected.
Will your science make a difference?
It has already made a difference, and our results has traveled all over the world. I think if we can do the same shift today to recognize ourselves as part of nature and the interconnectedness of human and nature into ecosystems, and also put that into laws, then we might have a chance.
Would you agree with this, Paul?
Oh, absolutely. And I'd add to that that I think what we need to do is to actually figure out how to become more responsible and accountable for our own actions, but in connection with each other. And as we do that, whatever transitions are upon us already and will continue to afflict our lives, we will handle with much more grace, better connection, and a lot more care for ourselves and each other and the planet.
Paul Poulet and Professor Martin Hultman at Chalmers University with Anne Holmes. Climate, on our minds everywhere.